Hello and welcome to the Organic Research Centre podcast. My name is Vicky Smith. The Organic Research Centre, or the ORC for short, is an independent research charity working for better and more sustainable farming systems which promote the environment and provide good food for everybody. This is one of many podcasts which we will be recording to help celebrate our 40th anniversary throughout 2021. Today we'll be speaking to Mark Measures, ORC's Senior Advisor, about his time at the ORC over the last 40 years, the Soil Analysis Service, the Organic Advisory Service, and IOTA. Hi Mark, thanks for joining us today. Regular listeners or people that have listened to our podcast before will know that you did a podcast last month with Lawrence Woodward. In that podcast, you gave a little bit of an overview of how you first became involved in the Elm Farm Research Centre. Do you want to give us a little bit more information?
Yeah, so I joined in 1983 as a farm manager, and that was in the very early days. The farm hadn't even been fully converted to organic at that stage, so we were still trying to set up the dairy herd and get the rotation running and this sort of thing. So, I spent the first 2 years at ORC working with the farm and converting the farm. But by that point, we were getting a lot of interest from other farmers, from all sorts of researchers. It was that interest and the need for people to know whether they could do it and whether there was a future for it. That's what really generated our development of the Organic Advisory Service. So I suppose 1985, we officially launched the advisory service. And in the first instance, there was me and I headed it. I worked at it full time, but very quickly took on three or four part-time advisors, people like Ian Tolhurst and Francis Blake and Gareth Rowlands, all of whom had enormous experience of organic farming and growing, and that gave us the sort of the basis of the service that we then subsequently developed.
Okay, and then so did the Organic Advisory Service come before the Soil Analysis Service, or did they kind of run together?
Strictly speaking, the Soil Analysis Service came before the Advisory Service, partly because of the link with the German researchers and BALS's Soil Analysis Service. So that had started, and then quickly, was amalgamated with the Advisory Service, and the whole thing came together. And I think that's probably the characteristic of the Advisory Service, is that we were very keen to make sure that we could offer the full range of services to farmers and growers. So we had the soil analysis on one side, we had technical expertise on another, which was particularly being informed by the research program. And then we provided business advice, marketing information advice, and of course many of the farmers who were coming to us, they were conventional farmers and they wanted to know how to convert, so it was a major focus of our work early on anyway, was developing a structured program to help farmers to convert.
That's really interesting. And then, Mark, when we spoke to Lawrence in our previous podcast last month, you explained that there was nowhere else really at the time that growers and producers could get organic advice. Is that correct?
Yes, Vicky. I think it certainly was the only source of advice that was available to farmers. And I think the fact that we looked at both the sort of the overall farm system, the technical side, and crucially the business. So we did always encourage farmers to properly budget for their conversion to make sure that it was going to be financially viable. I think the fact that we looked at all these aspects did mean that farmers got through the conversion and ran very successful businesses. And there are some farms that that I was involved with the conversion in the mid 80s, late 80s, who 30, 35 years later, I've been going back to every year, and they're still there in business, some going on to the second generation, third generation of farmer. So what we can say is that we came up with a model that worked. And I think although the farmers themselves undoubtedly were pioneering, they were perhaps brave, and certainly innovative, the fact is that they did manage to make very successful businesses out of it. And I think the fact that we've been able to help support a group of successful farmers is actually a great credit to our Organic Research Centre, because that is undoubtedly the basis of all our work. And we simply could not pursue general policy advocacy and so on if we didn't have a good basis of commercial farmers to be able to point to.
Okay, thanks, Mark. And then before we started recording the podcast, you started explaining to me that the Organic Advisory Service was based on a lot of the research that the Elm Farm Research Centre was doing at the time. Do you want to just talk us through maybe some of the key research areas or topics?
Well, there was a range of research that was directly applicable, and some of it was about this whole sort of idea of fertility building within the rotation. So the use of green manures, that was a particular research programme. The work on stockless farming. At the time, nobody thought that you could run an organic farm without livestock, for example, and it was a 10-year research programme at Elm Farm and a satellite site at Lansdowne in Kent. That really provided the basis for being able to advise farmers on how to operate a stockless system. So it fed directly into the advisory service. And similarly, the work on grass clover lays. Mm-hmm. This is the foundation of most organic farm systems anyway. This idea of fertility building through nitrogen fixation from clover, the role of the lay, how it builds fertility for subsequent crops, and how it produces forage for feeding to cattle and sheep and so on. That has been an ongoing part of our research programme at ORC, and started off, I think, in the late 80s, looking at the performance of different site classes, which is still a principal reference in our organic farm management handbook, and then development of herbal lays, for example, that started actually in 1984, so continued. So even up until into about 2010, there was still a major focus on grass, clover, lays, diverse mixtures. This idea about diverse lays, their greater resilience, their greater fertility building, their improved animal nutritional aspects, these all came out of work that ORC did over a 20-25 year period. And certainly ORC was the first to really tackle this from a research perspective, because it's very easy for farmers and others to get carried away with the latest trends of the moment. And I think what ORC has done is ensure that before it starts advocating the latest hot idea, that actually it's got really good science to back up what its claims are. And I think this the work on diverse grass clover lays has been one where we've been particularly effective in providing that research base on which to be able to make advice to commercial farmers.
Okay, thanks, Mark. And then that leads us on to IOTA. And I wondered whether you'd be able to give a bit of an overview of how it started, why it was created, and a little bit more background to it.
In 2001, the advisory service had reached a peak, I suppose, in 2000, because at that point we had 8 or 10 full-time advisors and about 20 part-time advisors, particularly servicing this DEFRA-funded OSIS advisory contract, which provided information to farmers and growers interested in conversion. That all was brought to a grinding halt by foot and mouth. It brought it to a finish. And that meant that the staffing levels in the OA, Organic Advisory Service, was substantially reduced. The whole service was contracted. At that time, I was feeling that the advisory world was changing, one where there were many more independent advisors working. There were a lot more people offering advice on organic farming and organic conversion. And frankly, it was a rather unregulated service that was going on, and I thought there were some problems. And as a result, I decided to leave the employment of ORC and set up IOTA, the Institute of Organic Training and Advice. And I set that up with active and financial support from Organic Research Centre, from the Soil Association, from ADAS, and from Organic Centre Wales. They all enabled this to get off the ground. And essentially what IOTA was offering was a professional body for organic advisors. So we were providing information on organic farming, training, and importantly, accreditation. So when a farmer wanted to know where they should go for advice, then we were able to point to a list of accredited advisors who we knew had the expertise. We ran IOTA for about 10 years as an independent organisation. It was not until I wanted to reduce my input and responsibilities for it that we decided that it needed to be amalgamated with one of the other organic organisations, by which time ORC had stopped providing advice. So it was the logical home for IOTA. And so IOTA became amalgamated with ORC, and I continued to manage it for the while. And then in due course, stepped back. So that sort of brings it up to date, really, with IOTA. And it remains to be seen how it develops in the future. But there's no doubt that the need for that information, training and accreditation of advisors still remains.
Great, thanks, Mark. And then I also wanted to talk about you a bit more, because you're retiring, aren't you, from ORC work, and you've been with us for around 40 years.
I just feel that it's probably time that I should take a step back. ORC has been my life's work, really, and it still remains immensely important. I mean, there is nowhere else in the UK that is dedicated to the development of organic farming in the way that ORC is, particularly from a research point of view, and making sure that research gets fed into to farming practice, into policy, and into informing other organisations that have an interest in the way our food is produced and in the way that farming impacts on our environment and biodiversity. So I still see ORC as critically important. I just need to do a bit less. I guess it comes to us all. I'm I don't aspire to spending a lot more time on the farm. In fact, with COVID, of course, I have inevitably spent more time in the last year and a half. But I've actually got a few other projects which are interesting for me. So, I will continue to do some advisory work, but it'll be rather more focused on one-off projects that I think are particularly interesting and something that I can usefully contribute to. Yes, I think that's probably really where I've got to. I've got a project in Argentina where I've been working for the last 30 odd years, so I'm keen to make sure I can continue to have some input for that. There are a number of local projects going on around about. But as far as our own farm at home is concerned, we've got a particularly interesting farm at Cow Hall. It was never farmed conventionally, although it wasn't registered organic for many years. It's essentially never had any agrochemical inputs. It's mostly a county wildlife site with exceptional biodiversity interest. And we've got a herd of traditional Hereford cattle that was, and a flock of clan sheep, both of which are indigenous to this particular valley. And we're keen to maintain the genetics of those and keep that going. So there's plenty here, but we hope that we'll get someone to join us as a partner in the future to run the farm.
Just quickly as well, so kind of looking back at your work you've done with the ORC and Elm Farm, is there anything that I'm sure you're proud of everything, but is there anything that like highlights specific things that you're really proud of? So when we spoke with Lawrence, you were talking about, so with the Organic Advisory Service, I think you said there were some farms that you had kind of advised quite early on, and they're still really thriving organic farms. Is there any, are you proud? I guess you're proud of that. And is there anything else as well that you're really, yeah, proud of achieving?
Well, I think that's the greatest sort of confirmation that what we set out doing in the 1980s was actually right. We got it right. We developed farming practices and systems which did genuinely work, and not only are they still functioning and still productive after 30 or 40 years, but those farms are still in business, and in some cases, you know, we're on the third generation of farmer. So you know, whilst the grandparents that I originally advised, we now have grandchildren taking over those farms and running them still as profitable, successful organic farm businesses. And of course, that is ultimately what we need to be about. We want to be able to see successful organic farms and being able to operate on a much wider extent. I still think that a lot of the work of ORC, it has been influential at the farm level, as I mentioned with the work on stock systems and grass clover overlays, but a lot of the research work has been particularly influential in policy circles, and we shouldn't forget that, because organic farming has been very dependent on support from government. To at least ensure it can be as profitable as conventional farming. And the sort of environmental impact work, I think, has been important, whether that's on nitrate leaching or on soil health or on the effect on bird populations, for example. All these things have then fed into environmental policy, and I think that's an important area of the work of ORC. Although I'm not a researcher, of course, I'm a farmer, I'm an advisor farmer, and I've not had any responsibility for a lot of this work. On the other hand, I have been involved in its implementation,
and much of the work has been done on my clients' farms. So it's been part of what I've been doing, and that's also been very, very rewarding. To sort of think about the range of farm types that we've dealt with, you know, at one, it's a full range. You know, at one level we've been working with large estates. We've worked with royalty. We worked with innumerable rock stars. I mean, at one time we were advising three of the ex-Beatles, for example.
Oh, really?
ultimately, I have to say, it is the individual growers and farmers, the family farmers who have businesses to run. That's what's been really important about our work.
That brings us to the end of today's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed listening, and happy retirement, Mark. If you would like to find out more about the ORC, whether that be our research, knowledge exchange or policy activity, please visit our website. I have included a link in the podcast introductory information to our homepage. You can also follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook or LinkedIn, as well as signing up to our bulletin or e-bulletin via the contact part of our website. Please also keep checking our 40th anniversary webpage for latest celebratory content, including podcasts, webinars and research fact sheets, which will look back on some of our most pioneering research over the last 40 years.